Created us for intimacy with himself, but we struggle in our movement towards that intimacy, longing for something more. This is The Soul Struggle with Janet Gosman, helping you identify the struggle, what brought you there, and how to move through it towards the intimacy with God our soul longs for.
Welcome to The Soul Struggle. I am Janet Gosman, and I received my Bible and counseling degrees from Multnomah Bible College and Western Seminary, Seattle. I am a biblical counselor and an international speaker. As a counselor, I specialize in abuse issues, depression, and anxiety. I also work with codependency and boundary issues. Today, we are going to talk about that soul struggle of trust. Last week, I talked about trust in relationship to fear, and this week, I'm going to share the soul struggle of trust in relationship to depression. So let's look at what real depression might look like and its causes and possible cures. David in Psalm 42:5 cries out, "Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me?" Then in Psalm 6, he pleads, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am faint. Heal me, Lord, for my bones are in agony. My soul is in deep anguish. How long, Lord, how long? I am worn out from my groaning. All night long I flood my bed with weeping and drench my couch with tears. My eyes grow weak with sorrow and they fail because of all my foes." David struggled with some dark, dark emotions. Depression gives a sense of hopelessness and helplessness. There's often an internal deadness, and a sense of a dark cloud over the head. It can be debilitating. Yet let me ask the question, is depression a sin due to a self-pitying focus? Or is it the hidden and unlikely path to purpose, peace, and possibly even joy? Let me answer very briefly by saying, yes, it can be both. I would like to briefly share my own journey through this dark tunnel of depression. My depression lasted about 4 years. Then several years later, I experienced another battle with this insidious invader. It sapped my energy and left me feeling helpless and a sense of hopelessness. I was tired and struggled to do the daily things required of a wife and mother and other outside activities. It wasn't that I wasn't busy or didn't have enough to keep me from thinking too much about myself. In fact, I had plenty to keep me busy, and I did. But inside, I felt that life held no real purpose or meaning for all my busyness. I also felt like other people ran my life instead of me. Life had not worked out the way I had hoped. After experiencing what seemed like insurmountable problems and 2 miscarriages, I began my struggle with God. What I discovered was that God was ultimately using that depression to move me toward a truly personal relationship with himself, in which I would debate with him, sometimes argue with him, and thus began my own examination of my long-held belief system about God, myself, and how life works. This soon led to expressions of praise, wonder, and gratitude, and a life of purpose. So let's look at a few facts about depression. First, how do we get there? Well, sometimes it's genetics, inherited traits from blood relatives with a history of depression. It may be physiological or biochemical factors, an imbalance of brain chemicals called neurotransmitters. Medical conditions may cause depression and self-medicating with alcohol and other numbing substances. There are also external events, long-term stress, loneliness, events or decisions in the past that have brought about continued hurt and pain in the present, trauma, involvement in the occult. Other external causes may be due to a loss. Now, this is huge. Very often, our problems stem from loss, a loss of love, grief due to the death or loss of a loved one, a loss of freedom to choose. Whatever losses you may have, these may move you into the victim mode wherein you feel you have no choices at all, the result of which is living a life of passivity, and this definitely leads to depression. There may be a loss of your childhood. Abuse victims often get stuck here and fail to recognize that the core of their depression stemmed from the loss of their childhood as they maneuvered to stay out of sight or try to fix. Many times they were the parent in the family's abuse of alcohol and drugs. Abuse issues can cause depression, and let me give you an example out of abuse. I had a client that had experienced terrible childhood abuse. However, she came to me about relational and stress-related issues, a lot of irritation and some anger. Even though we had looked at her childhood, she had deliberately hidden from me any indication of abuse. One evening, she called me and stated that she was considering suicide. I was a bit surprised as there had been no evidence of depression. I asked her to meet me at my office. When she arrived, she began to spill out to me the things she had not told me, including her extremely abusive growing up years. She had considered her current relational problems and stress as what needed to be resolved and had hidden from me her childhood. I let her talk as she cried and cried, pouring out her pain. There were so many events and so much anguish, and I knew I needed to get some resolution that night. Finally, I asked her to go to a specific event in relationship to her abuse at home. So she went to a specific time when she was shut in her bedroom for days. There were no toys and no food. She was told just to sit on the bed. She sobbed at the memory of feeling abandoned and alone as she watched out her window as the family drove away. She had no idea where they were going and when they would return. I prayed silently, asking God to give me direction for this hurting, wounded woman. I felt God leading me to ask her to close her eyes, to re-enter that scene so very painful. As she closed her eyes and re-entered the scene, the sobbing increased as she spilled out her anguish and even more anguish. Finally, we prayed together, and I suggested she ask Jesus to come into the scene. As she did, I noticed her sobbing began to slow down. She said she saw a light. So we quietly sat there, and the sobbing began to cease as she stated, "Yes, Jesus is here. I see him." I waited. Then quietly she said, "He is sitting on the bed with me and he is holding my hand." Within a few minutes, she opened her eyes and looked straight at me and said, "I'm okay now. I can go home." What had happened? She had been able to visually recognize that Jesus was there with her. This is biblical truth. He was there. But this time he allowed her to see him there, and it resolved her issue of pain. There have been several times in my own life that I've asked Jesus to reveal himself to me as I returned to a specific event that had brought deep pain and woundedness. One time he gave me a song, and as it ran through my head following my prayer in a time of silent meditation, I knew it was from him to me. It was healing and brought a new sense of his presence into that event. So how do we resolve these? We grieve over the losses. And what does that look like? Well, eventually it looks like as we grieve, we come to acceptance. And acceptance means that you begin to think about today and the future more than the past. You begin to feel like, I think I'm going to be all right, and you begin to feel hope. Romans 15:13 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Now I would like to look at some internal causes. What are these causes? Well, our own belief system can give us problems. We live what we believe. What we believe will determine how we feel, what we think about, how we act, and the decisions we make. That belief system may include lies about the self. You may believe there's something wrong with you, that you're no good. You believe you have no gifts or talents. You feel hopeless, a mess, never good enough, a failure, and you'll never measure up. The answer to this is to take the inside look. The inside look means you will have to look at your belief system about yourself. What is the truth? Rethink the truth of who you are in Christ. Do you really believe that you are a forgiven son or daughter of God because of your faith and trust in the work of Jesus on the cross to pay the penalty for your sin? Do you believe you are completely clean? As you begin the inside look, begin a journey of discovery about your own talents and gifts. Who did God create you to be? I recommend reading Psalm 139 every day and putting your name where appropriate. Personalize it. It was written with you in mind. Then memorize scriptures that tell the truth about who you are. Memorize his promises and pray them back to him. Believe them. Next, listen for negative self-talk. 2 Corinthians 10:4 and 5 states, "The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." Take captive every thought. What does that sound like? Well, when we take captives, it's usually because we've been in a war. This is war. You have an enemy, and he is at war with you. It's Satan, and he wants to defeat you, and he will use your thought life to try and defeat your life and keep you in depression. So that's the battle. And prayer is the first weapon with which we fight a mental stronghold. Prayer is not only talking to God. Prayer is listening to God. It is making requests from the God who spoke the world into existence. Pray and ask God to show you your circumstances from his perspective. If there is a particular event or instance that may be causing you problems, I would recommend that you deal with each incident individually. Ask Jesus to enter into the event. Quietly wait, asking for a word, scripture, or a mental picture. I have resolved some deep hurts with this method. Maybe you have a wrong belief about God. You sinned in such a way that you feel such guilt that you believe God could never forgive you. This is a lie from Satan. God waits to forgive you. Maybe you believe God is distant and disinterested, or stern and demanding. You can never match up to his requirements. However, as a Christian, you must keep trying harder to live this Christian life. But trying harder only leads to that sense of hopelessness. So what do you believe about God? Do you believe he is good? Do you believe he is trustworthy? I have several downloads on my website, soulstruggle.com. that will help you with your belief about yourself and your belief about God. So what about lies about life? Perhaps you have a mistaken belief that if I live a good life, I will be happy. Or if I do the right things, bad things won't happen. God did not promise happiness that's dependent upon our circumstances, but he did promise joy that is not dependent upon circumstances, but upon our trust that he is working all things together for your good and his glory, according to Romans 8:28. He promises to walk us through the pain and trouble of this fallen world. Matthew 28:20 states, "Surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age." He does not promise to protect us from the effects of living in a fallen world. Jesus said in John 16:33, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." In order to move to recovery, the initial step is to gather the courage to identify and then acknowledge the emotional pain in your life. Other contributors to depression may be unresolved anger. You may have anger at self for making wrong decisions that have deeply affected you, sins that brought about pain and consequences in the present. You may have anger at God, feelings of unfairness, lack of trust, questions about his goodness and his sovereignty. Unresolved anger at injustice. What do we do about injustice? We may have problems with our expectations of people. Are you surprised when people sin against you? These people bring about deep pain and hurt, and this often results in a broken or damaged relationship with someone you trusted. The truth is that people will hurt us and disappoint us, and yes, sin against us. So we may have unresolved anger at others, and they deserve your anger after all the pain they've caused. And so I hold this viper called anger close to me, believing this emotion I feel is hurting them. So the very poison intended for another drips slowly, invisibly, until it destroys my own soul. This is what anger does. Anger destroys. So what is my demand? Do I have an internal demand for change, revenge, retribution? An internal demand for God to fix it? If I pray hard enough or say the right words and am living in obedience, God should. You see, depression can be a protection against the grief and loss in order to cover over the deep pain and postpone facing some harsh realities. Another cause is unforgiveness. I may have unforgiveness at self for the mistakes and sins of the past. Release those mistakes to God because he can work them into his divine plan for good, or toward others for their treatment and incidents that hurt you. The forgiveness may seem justified. The unforgiveness may seem justified. The action done may have been absolutely wrong, dishonest, humiliating, even degrading and evil. Anger and unforgiveness lead to bitterness. This bitterness that results begins to move those we love further away from us. Friends and family become distant because they can't stand to see the damage done to our soul. So unforgiveness often leads to depression. So what do we do? Well, we must look at forgiveness. And there must be a willingness to forgive. Forgiveness does not mean forget, nor does it necessarily mean a restored relationship. Remember, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." However, he had no restored relationship with those who crucified him. When we go to forgiveness, we need to seek reconciliation. However, sometimes reconciliation is not possible. Unforgiveness is the trap of Satan that keeps you bound to the person you cannot forgive. Our anger and unforgiveness says they deserve it, but in the end, it is not them who are affected. It is us who end up with the emotional and physical results of our unforgiveness. True forgiveness says you are willing to give up the requirement for revenge and release all consequences to God's discretion. We only become free when we let the right to revenge go and let God deal with the person. When we release to God all the injustice done to us. So what is my demand? Is my demand an internal demand for change, revenge, and retribution? An internal demand for God to fix it if I pray hard enough or say the right words? If I'm living in obedience, God should? I must think about my thinking. Our thought life that is negative, even if you believe it's all true, rehearsing it and the hurts and the abuses of your life will only keep you stuck. So go to Scripture and absorb the promises he gives. Let's go back to Psalm 42 and see how David resolved his depression. Verse 5b says, "Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God." And verse 8, "By day the Lord directs his love at night. His song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life." He repeats verse 5b and ends with this, "Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God." You see, he turns his focus from himself and turns his focus to God and the truth that God will take care of him. He will decide to put his trust in God. Say no to isolation. Find a group or friend that will walk with you through the darkness. Go to church. I would like to say a word about antidepressant medications. These work by increasing the supply of neurotransmitters in the brain in order to restore the chemical balance. However, if you are taking antidepressants without biblical counseling, you will not resolve the soul struggle that brought you into that depression. Yes, depression can be a chemical imbalance. However, our own behaviors, emotions, attitudes, and thought life can alter our own chemistry, thereby creating our own chemical imbalance. That is why it is necessary to receive biblical counseling, because medical treatment without biblical counseling will not resolve the core problem of the depression. It simply covers or removes the symptoms. I suggested with the proposition that depression can be the hidden and unlikely path to peace, purpose, and possibly even joy. So I would like to share the completion of my testimony. I spoke earlier about this depression in my own life. I did those practical things that I should do, such as walking, exercising, getting up. Regardless of how down you feel, get out of bed, get dressed. Upon rising, think of something beautiful or pleasant and thank God for it. Sometimes we can be overwhelmed with too much to do. Choose something and do it. And then the next day, choose something else and do it. Take walks, get exercise, and get fresh air. I did those things, and I walked every evening, quoting 1 Corinthians 10:13, "No testing or temptation has taken you but what is common to man. But God is faithful and will not allow you to be tested above what you are able to endure." I continued every day quoting that to myself as I walked through that dark, dark tunnel that looked like it had no end. But I continued to seek God in His purpose, and out of my own pain, I began asking the hard questions. I asked myself the question, where did I want to be 10 years from now? And I began to discover some gifts and talents. I recognized that God is doing a work in my own life, as His goal is toward my maturity in Christ. And so as I look back, it is obvious I am not where I was. Once I discovered some of those gifts, I began to take steps to develop them. And the result is that God has opened up doors of opportunity to serve Him and has brought me into that place of peace and purpose, yes, and even joy. I am more aware and excited about who God is and who He is making me to be, and I am experiencing a life of meaning and purpose. I have discovered the peace and purpose and even joy, but it came through the path of depression. Hebrews 12:7 tells us to endure hardship because no discipline seems present but painful, but later it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees and make level paths for your feet. James 1 says to count it all joy as we walk through depression toward peace and purpose.
Thank you for listening to The Soul Struggle with Janet Gosman. Janet is an international speaker and biblical counselor in the Portland metro area, specializing in depression, anxiety, and abuse issues. To contact Janet, call 503-658-6639. That's 503-658-6639. Visit her website for more information and resources at soulstruggle.com. Soulstruggle.com.
Heartaches, broken pieces.